Welcome to Chat NDT with ASNT, a podcast from the American Society for Non-Destructive Testing. I'm Debbie Siegler, the host of the podcast. In this episode of Chat NDT with ASNT, ASNT's Director of Publications, Jill Ross, speaks with NDT legend Chuck Hellier about how he got started in NDT, grew his career, and how he got involved in ASNT. Chuck had so many stories to share that we decided to turn it into two episodes.
All right. Well, thank you, Chuck, for joining us today to spend some time with us. We can't wait to hear about everything you have to say about your experience in the industry.
Well, I can't wait to share it with you because it's been a long path, and it's been a very good one. And I'm ready to talk about just about anything.
Yes, long and interesting, I'm sure. Many have referred to you as a legend in the industry, so for good reason.
One of these days, I'm going to have to see what the meaning of legend is. I'm not sure that that's really correct, but I guess when you stay around long enough, I guess you can become your own legend. But anyway, I want to thank you, and I also want to thank Debbie for giving me this opportunity to share some of the adventures I've had in NDT, and that's exactly the way I feel. It's been a wonderful long run, and I just can't. The only thing that I could wish for is that I could do it all over. I might do it better.
Well, tell us, how did you get your start in NDT?
Well, you know, when I was growing up in Kensington, that's a section of Philadelphia, I went to high school, and like the rest of the kids, it's not very... substantial neighborhood. But, you know, we were growing up not knowing really what we wanted to do with our lives. So when I first graduated from high school, I thought about going to college, but we were not a very wealthy family. So I got a job to help out with some of the bills. But in any event, the first job that I got when I was in Kensington was not a very pleasant job, but working at Jones and Lachlan Steel Company. It was a tough job and hard. And I guess it was during that time that I realized that this is not something I wanted to do the rest of my life. So I had a friend at church that I went to, and I was talking about how difficult it was working in the steel mill, and I was looking for some kind of direction. Anyway, he and I became close friends. We were both looking for what we were going to do as a career, and he decided to become a minister. He went into the ministry, and I decided that I wanted to learn something a little bit more mechanical, I guess. So I ended up signing up and starting night school at Temple University. And even at this time, I wonder, I've lost track of him, but I just wonder what he might be doing now. But I think I made the right decision. And so he eventually ended up, this is actually how I got started. I'm sorry I'm taking so long, but he had a job at the Bud Company while he was going to school, B-U-D-D. A lot of people don't know about that company, but they used to make these railroad cars. Somehow they got into the business of building a prototype for the nuclear engines that are supposed to be put on planes. So that gives you a good idea of how far back it was. So anyway, he said that I should come to the Bud Company and interview for a job. And I did that. And the person, well, at that time, it was the personnel department. And the woman in the personnel department asked me what I liked to do. Well, I liked photography. And I mentioned that. And 1 week later, they hired me as an X-ray technician.
Okay.
I have no idea of how I qualified for that by liking photography, but that was my first job in NDT. And it was very intriguing. It was challenging because at that time, they didn't have all the nice training courses that they have now. So it was sort of like learn on the job. And I became an X-ray technician. And I might mention that at that time, there was no such thing as certification. This is back in the, late 50s.
Mm-hmm.
So it was basically on-the-job training. They had log books, which had all the techniques that I had to use. But in any event, the first real project that I got involved with was this prototype, aerospace nuclear power reactor. And it was a large double-walled stainless steel vessel. And I worked on that project for months and months and took all the radiographs. Found out later that for some reason, it never moved forward. And of course, we don't have, that I know of anyway, any nuclear reactors that propelling planes.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a great start. And then while I was going to school at night at Temple, and I was growing a family, I saw an advertisement in the Philadelphia Bulletin, I believe it was, for a technician for the Standard Press Steel Company in Jenkintown, Pennsylvania. And the technician was supposed to be for inspection. So it sounded interesting. The project was winding down at the Bud Company, and so I went to Jenkintown, said I was an X-ray technician, and I was hired. And it was during that time that I really felt that I got launched into NDT, because at SPS, they had magnetic particle. They made a lot of aerospace fasteners, and they had these magnetic particle units that took bolts and fasteners, and it was sort of a semi-automatic system, but they were just getting into the naval nuclear program. So I got there right at the right time. And they were just starting to get into the equipment purchase for radiography and for ultrasound and so on. And I really got into it there. And I must have done something right, because they made me supervisor. Now, here is a young guy trying to get through school, and all of a sudden, I was the supervisor of a 35-person department that did the different NDT methods. I really didn't know that much about it. I certainly didn't know how to be an effective supervisor, but again, it was another case of on-the-job training. And there, while I was at SPS, I actually took my first certification exam.
Okay.
And in those days, they didn't even have a written exam. The government inspector came in. I remember his name, Harry Johns, really, really quite a guy. And he gave me a verbal examination.
Oh, wow.
And the first question that he asked, I'm sure that some of my friends will laugh over this one. The first question he asked me when we sat down and he gave me this verbal exam, he said, "I want you to tell me how steel is made from the beginning to the end." Well, that was one of the courses I hadn't been taking. I took metallurgy course, but I never knew how to make steel. So I have to admit that I failed my first certification exam. But after that, I decided to find out all about steel. So they actually signed me up at a Magnaflux course out in Chicago. And one of the nice things they did was they really got into the steel making process and so on. While I was at SPS, I have to admit they were very good to me. I not only took the Magnaflux course, and this is while I'm still trying to get through school in the evening, and I took the, I believe it was one of the first ultrasonic testing courses offered. It was given by Branson Instruments. Now, at that time, Sperry Products, I think, was the only company that made ultrasonic equipment. And because of the size and the bulk and the, they were really antiques, Branson Instruments in Stamford, Connecticut came along and they came out with a new model. It was, they called it the Branson Model 5. And so I took the course. Believe it or not, that first course where you were supposed to learn everything about ultrasonics was 3 days. That was it. Everything was in 3 days. And the instructor, I'll never forget, because he was also a very reputable key person in NDT and ASNT, although I think it was SNT at the time. And his name was John Bobbin. John Bobbin was just a remarkable person. Unfortunately, passed away prematurely. But he was the instructor, and that was my first lesson in ultrasonics. Oh, they also sent me to a two-week course at Ohio State University. It was during the summer, so I wasn't going to school at night. And that is when I met Bob McMaster for the first time. I'm sure you've heard of them. He was the editor of the first two-volume handbook of non-destructive testing.
So at the time, Bob McMaster was a professor at Ohio State University, right?
He was, yes. And the two-week course that I took, and with him being the instructor, I think was the one that really launched me and really convinced me that NDT was the career I wanted to pursue. He really just energized people. He was a remarkable, remarkable lecturer. One of the few that I've met in my life where he didn't use any notes at all.
Wow.
And he just, everything was, you know, it's just so natural for him. So not only did I meet him, but I actually became a lifelong friend with him. That's where it all started. I wanted to mention that while I was back at SPS, I was still working there, we actually developed our first, anyway, immersion system with the immersion tank and one of the Branson instruments. And that will be illustrated. And now, where did I get started in ASNT? That's a good question. At SPS, with all the NDT we were doing, and of course, mm-hmm. bought some of the ultrasonic instruments manufactured by Branson, their salesman, this really sticks out of my mind because I think this is really where I got launched into ASNT. The Branson Instruments salesman, his name was George Dorfel. He had a son, too, by the way, that followed in his footstep. And every time he came in and talked to me about equipment we needed and transducers, he would always invite me to attend the local, at that time it was SNT section meeting, mm-hmm. the Greater Philadelphia section. And I finally accepted because he kept asking me. So anyway, I went. And that was the first section meeting that I went to, that I attended. And I believe that was back in the late 50s or early 60s. So a long time ago. And so I attended the Greater Philadelphia section meeting, the first one that I ever attended. And that was another thing that really, really turned me on. I met so many really great people there that first meeting. professionals, really just tremendous people. And so I became a member of the Greater Philadelphia section back in the late 1950s and attended all the meetings. I saw another newspaper ad. I had been working at SPS for about 5 years. And this newspaper ad indicated that there was going to be interviews for NDT professionals at Electric Boat in Groton, Connecticut. And I'll never forget it because I thought, wow, this sounds like might be another challenge. Mm-hmm. So I called, set up the interview, and the interviewer said, after he interviewed me a little bit over the phone, he said, no, just come up to Groton. And I didn't even go in for the interview, but I did. Took the family, went up to Groton, Connecticut, and had my interview at Electric Boat. And before I left, they offered me the job of supervisor of NDT engineering.
How big was that department that you were going to manage?
Oh, yeah. The department at that time, I had a 50% use of a UT technician because we developed ultrasonic testing for welds. And then there were five or six engineers in the group, and we primarily prepared procedures. We had to do audits for a lot of the suppliers. So it's a very active, I enjoyed the time there. I learned a lot. And it was during that time at Electric Boat when I found out that SNT was actually interested in starting sections. And so a group of us got together and we ended up starting the Connecticut Yankee section of SNT.
Okay.
And I might mention that first year was just amazing. And a lot of the old timers in ASNT today will remember the name Ralph Turner. He worked for Kodak, and he went through the chairs. He's a past president. And he got the brilliant idea in 1995 to take a radiograph of the Liberty Bell in conjunction with the celebration of the bicentennial mm-hmm. in 1976. So he put together a team. They used cobalt-60. It was a great story. In fact, that story, the radiography of the Liberty Bell, was actually included in something like 400 different articles at the time. It really made a big story. So he was the one that ended up being our first speaker. And I'll never forget that first meeting. There was about 160 people out to it.
Well, that's a good turnout.
One of the largest local section meetings. Yeah, it was a great turnout. And he was just remarkable. Another person like Phil Johnson and Bob McMaster, mm-hmm. just remarkable and dedicated to NDT. So that's how SNT got started in Connecticut, and I believe the section is still going.
Yes, it is still active section. Yep.
I do remember, I did want to, still active, yeah. I wanted to mention that at the end of that first year of the Connecticut Yankees section, we decided to celebrate the year by having a banquet. And we had a banquet on the roof of the Mohegan Hotel in downtown New London. I'll never forget it. It was almost like a garden environment. But we had, oh my gosh, just lots of people. We had a band and they had a fashion show. It was really quite a thing. And our guest speaker there, this is the reason I wanted to mention it, was Philip Johnson.
Okay.
The first managing director of, well, S&T at the time, but mm-hmm. he was the founding father, or one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the speaker, remarkable talk. He really energized everybody, especially me. And at the end of the night, I have to give him credit for me getting involved, because we were just wrapping up. He had his wife there. I had mine. And he said to me, Chuck, I really want to get you involved in S&T. Well, AS&T mm-hmm. now. So he asked me if I'd like to get involved, come to the meetings. And I ended up doing that and became chairman of the educational. It was called the Educational Council at the time.
Okay.
And that's how I really got involved with the, you know, with the national meetings and the national committee activities. So anyway, that was really how things got started with me and AS&T. After Electric Boat, I got involved with the Sperry Products Company. They offered me a very nice job. And I had never been in sales before, so they asked me to take over the position of sales manager for New England and New York State, part of New York State.
Okay.
And I did. And of course, it was another educational process, because I got to learn all about the equipment and the different techniques we had to know about, because we had customers that had needs for all the NDT methods. So it was a great opportunity, and really expanded my vision on the full world of NDT.
Oh, did they manufacture all the types of equipment?
They did. Their big claim to fame was with ultrasonics, because the ultrasonic reflective scope, which was at one time, I think, the only ultrasonic equipment available. They had that, but they had the full line, penetrance, magnetic particle equipment, and X-ray, a lot of X-ray equipment. They later on acquired the Budd Company. They had a division that dealt with the manufacture of radioactive sources. And so they eventually bought that section out, and they got pretty big. You know, in fact, Jill, the one thing I remember when, at that time, there was really two major companies in NDT, that is in the NDT products.
Uh-huh.
Only two. And one was Magnaflux and the other was Sperry. A couple of other little companies came along after a while. And of course, look what the industry looks like now. But it
right.
was really those two were the backbone of the equipment. And of course, they had some just terrific people working there. A lot of them were very active with AS&T. So anyway, I went ahead and took that job with Sperry. One of the instruments that I sold as an independent part of it, because Sperry didn't have an ultrasonic thickness gauge, but there was a company in Waltham, Massachusetts called Panametrics. And Panametrics made some really wonderful thickness gauges. And so that was one of the product lines that we had. I had the opportunity to meet the president on my visits up there to Waltham. And his name was Ed Carnevale. He convinced me to start my own business. And so the next page was when I started in 1972, my first official company called NDT Engineering. And I had a facility, a small one, also had some training rooms and labs. So I offered products as well as training courses. And that was in 1972.
Even then, did you have the sense that this was a very young industry and full of opportunity?
Yeah, you know, at that point, Jill, it was really starting to grow at that time. Mm-hmm. I think the word was getting out that this was a technology that we all needed. And of course, we know now what all the benefits are.
Right.
But a lot of times, NDT was used in those days because it was a requirement. People did not really understand the true benefits of proper use of NDT and the different techniques. So it was still, I would call, not an infant any longer, but maybe more like a teenager.
Gotcha.
And it was starting to grow. And even ASNT, which was at that time, was growing. Mm-hmm. So it was a very dynamic time in our history. That was a great little company. It was in the home base for us at that time was in a little town in Connecticut called Deep River. And, oh, gosh, I'd love to go back there. It was a wonderful time to be living. You know, the NDT training was going well. I did a lot of training myself. And the whole industry was really starting to grow up. It was a great time, and it was during my time at NDT Engineering. I had been going to the conferences, the annual conferences. They used to have conferences in the springtime, and I believe it was called West Tech. And it was ASNT in conjunction with ASN and a few other organizations. Mm-hmm. It was not just ASNT. Whereas in the fall, usually in October, November area, like they're still doing, it was all ASNT. So I was involved again with the Educational Council. I got involved. I actually was honored to be asked to become a board member, which I did. And it was at one of the spring conferences that I didn't make. But anyway, I got a call and they asked me if I would be willing to be a candidate to become the secretary treasurer. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't know anything about either a secretary or a treasurer, so I told them I would. And one of the things that stands out in my mind with just starting the company, I had to go out to the meeting in California, and I had to scrimp and borrow to get enough money to go. Just didn't have enough money to do that, but I really believed in ASNT. And so as a result of that, going out, being interviewed, I became secretary treasurer. And to this day, I'm not too sure whether there were any other candidates. In those early days, not easy to get board members or people to go running through the chairs because it required like 5-6 year commitment.
Right.
And the employer had to be, of course, behind them. So anyway, I was very honored to become the secretary treasurer. And then from there, worked my way up through the chairs.
Thank you for listening to Chat NDT with ASNT. We hope you enjoyed listening to Chuck talk about his early life in NDT and ASNT. Stay tuned for part 2, which will be released on Thursday, April 6th. You won't want to miss Chuck's stories about how he started 2 successful training companies and his most memorable experiences in NDT.